Tonight we're going to talk about a Christian work ethic, or a work ethic that God gives us in the Bible. What He says is right to do, what He says is wrong to do. And so when we look at this, we're obviously not looking at this for salvation. We're looking at what God says is the best way to live our lives. And the book of Proverbs, the first 8-9 chapters talk about wisdom. And we should be wise in knowing that we don't know everything, and God does. And so if we listen, and the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. So we come to the Bible saying, how should we live our lives? Because we don't know as much as you do, God, which is obvious. And so we see what God says about how we should work. And we know that God's way is the best way. He created us, He created the world. And so that's what we're looking at, is how does God say we should work? And so we'll get started. Let's first open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening. I thank You for the beautiful weather today, and for the beautiful universe You've given us to look at and to enjoy. And Lord, I thank You for that You didn't just create us and leave us down here with no instructions, but we have an instruction book. We know the way we're supposed to live, Lord. We do fail. We do fall short, and Lord, forgive us for that. But also, Lord, I just thank You for giving us these instructions. Help us to have the strength to do it in Your spirit, to live and to work and live our Christian lives the way we're supposed to, the way You intend for us to live. So, Lord, we pray this, and I ask Your blessing on tonight that we all may learn from Your Word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs talks about a slothful man or a sluggard or a man without understanding. But basically what we're going to go through tonight is look at what the book of Proverbs says about a poor work ethic, what it says about a good work ethic, and then apply that to our Christian lives. You know, as Christians, we can be slothful in our spiritual lives. We can be a sluggard, you know, as far as what we're doing. We can have a great personal business. We can be on the ball and have our house look great and have everything look great, and we're hard workers, but then we waste our lives in the church, and we're slothful in that area. So we want to apply these things to ourselves and to our lives in Christ. So when we're looking at these things, don't just sit and think, well, yeah, I know Bob over there. He's a sluggard, you know, and apply these to other people. Look at yourself and say, all right, am I doing this? Am I not doing this? Be honest with yourself, and we know that we can improve in some areas. In some areas, maybe we do well, but some areas we need to improve. So let's look at ourselves tonight. Proverbs 10, verse 4. We're going to start with a poor work ethic, what God says in the book of Proverbs. And we're just confining ourselves basically to the book of Proverbs. What He says is a poor work ethic. So Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." And so we talked about money. And we shouldn't try to get rich just for the sake of having money and things and riches. We should want to, though, you know, get rich so we can give to God, so we can help out Him. And we want to do everything we can with the talents He's given us, with what He's given us to work with. And so if we have these things and we deal with a slack hand, we're going to become poor. Now, dealing with a slack hand, I think of kind of, you know, you shake somebody's hand, sometimes it's slack. What about, you know, there's a lot of jobs you get into and you've got to have a pretty firm hand. If you're sawing wood, you know, you can't just barely just kind of pull that saw over and hope it goes down. You've got to bear down. But a slack hand, you know, if it comes easy, that's good. I'll do it. But if it's hard, then you kind of give up. If you got to bear down, well, I'm not going to work that hard. So you just kind of leave. If you have that attitude about work, that when it gets hard, you're just going to kind of leave it to go. If the going's hard, you're going to become poor. So we see that. We need to have a hard. When things are hard, we work hard. Look at verse 5 right below that. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." God says it would cause shame to have a son, that it's harvest time. And this is a pretty good theme throughout the book of Proverbs. There's a time to work. There's a time for rest, but there's a time to work and a son that would sleep through harvest. When we have to get the work done, we have to get the harvest in, that son sleeps through it. That would cause shame. That's Proverbs 10, verse 5. And so when there's work to be done, we need to do it. There's time for rest, but there's a time to work. And we need to see that, and we need to work hard. Okay, Proverbs 10, verse 26. "As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." So somebody with a poor work ethic, a sluggard, like a slug, you think of a slug, I mean, it's just kind of a glob, and it just moves slowly, and it's not a real diligent animal. You think of a sloth. You've seen two-toed and three-toed sloth. We talk about those things. They're slow-moving. They just hang around all day upside down. Okay? That's what the Bible says, a sloth and a sluggard is being like those animals. And here it says a sluggard, if you send him to do something for you, you give him a responsibility, a sluggard, well, it's not going to be good for the person that trusts in that man or that woman that is a sluggard. It's like smoke in the eyes. You ever had smoke in your eyes? And it burns. And so it's not good. So you're going it's distasteful. It's bad for the person that trusts somebody that's a sluggard. We don't want to be that person that's a sluggard. We want to be able to be trusted. If people send us on something, people give us a job to do, we want to be able to finish it and not cause harm to somebody that trusted in us. Now, vinegar to the teeth. Anybody know what vinegar to the teeth would do? I don't know. So there's no wrong answer here. I'll believe you. I don't know, but I mean, I just know I don't like vinegar. But vinegar is an acid, and what an acid would do to enamel, you know, would eat away. You even know, the carbonic acid, it slowly eats away at your teeth. I imagine vinegar, acetic acid, would do even more. So, I mean, that's the only thing. It would eat away at your teeth and gnaw at them and ruin them. All right, let's go to chapter 12. So we see some things the Bible says about a poor work ethic. It's a man that can't be trusted. It's somebody that when there's work to be done, they're sleeping. It's somebody that, you know, if it gets hard, they stop. And God has not good things to say about that. Chapter 12, verse 24. Says, the hand of the diligent shall bear a rule. And we're going to talk about being diligent. That's a good thing. That's setting your mind to it, staying at it, working with it, you know, not giving up. Steady work. The hand of the diligent shall bear a rule, but it says, the slothful shall be under tribute. So a slothful man, one who has these characteristics of not being, you know, ambitious, not being a hard worker, he's going to be under tribute. All his life, he's going to be having loans that he can't hardly pay. He's going to be, you know, behind in his rent payment. He's going to be behind in his bills. He's always going to need handouts because he's always going to be under tribute. He's never going to get on top because he's slothful. But on the other hand, the diligent, he will bear rule, and we'll talk about that when we get to there. Okay, so not good to be a slothful man. We'll always be under tribute, always be under behind the eight ball, or, you know, always have just bills and can't get them. Okay, chapter 12, verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. All right, so this, I look at it two ways. And Ashley, when I go hunting, she sends this. She wrote this on a proverb, and she called it the hunter's proverb, so I can read it when I'm out hunting. And it motivates me, right? God wants us to hunt. But so it says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. So number one, maybe he didn't go out and hunt. Maybe it's a slothful man just said, oh, it's too cold, or I don't really want to get up. And so he can't roast it because he didn't take it. It could be that, or it could be, and that both of them work, both of them are wrong, that he doesn't roast the thing that he took in hunting. He went and killed an animal. He's got it. It's in his backyard hanging, but he lets it rot. Never gets around because, too lazy to go, you know, skin the animal. I'm too lazy to cut it up. You got to package it and freeze it. And so he wastes that whole animal. He's going to go hungry, but he does not roast that which he took in hunting. So, I mean, we can look at it that way, and we should not be wasteful. You know, if there's, you know, I'm thinking of maybe Earl, you got firewood and stuff, and we can cut all this, and then are we going to use that firewood? We don't want to waste all this stuff. We want to be ambitious in the things that we do and not waste things, not waste our abilities, not waste our years of our life when we can work and all these kind of things. Not be a slothful man. But we need to roast that which we took in hunting. Finish the job. Do it all the way. Right? And so that's a one that says don't waste. All right, chapter 13, verse 4. So we think in our lives, is there times I'm wasting? Is there times I'm not finishing the job? I shot the animal, but I don't, you know, I just leave it go. Chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. So it's not that the sluggard, this lazy man, it's not that he doesn't want to have things. He wants to provide a nice house for his wife. He wants to provide food on the table and have shoes on his children's feet. He wants these things. He desires them, but he has nothing. Why? Because of the reasons we said. Because he's sleeping. Because he's, you know, not finishing jobs. Because he's doing these things. He's being lazy. So it's not that he just doesn't care. He still desires, but they don't come to him. Now that is the natural way it should happen. In our country today, sometimes that doesn't happen. Now we know people that they can be slothful and the government will give them. Right? And so it kind of rewards this. But in the natural way of working, the sluggard, the slothful man, the lazy man would desire and have nothing, but the hunger would motivate him to get up and do something. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 15, verse 19. So it's not that a lazy man or somebody that's a sluggard or slothful doesn't desire. They do desire. They just don't do the work. They allow their laziness. And we all have that tendency. We need to overcome. All right, chapter 15, verse 19. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. So, I mean, to a slothful man, we can take this, we can get a lot from this one too. To a slothful man, to a lazy man, the way is just a hedge of thorns. When they wake up and they know they have a job to do, what they see is a hedge of thorns. I mean, how am I going to get this done? They're just everywhere they look, it seems like there's problems, there's thorns. I can't get this done, and so they don't do. They're trapped in by this hedge of thorns. Or it could be also, we look at this, that we would think that being lazy and being slothful and laying around and doing these things would make your life easy because you don't have to work. But God's saying, no, that's not the way it is. Your life's really going to be a hedge of thorns to a slothful man. But we look at it, the way of the slothful man, it's blocked. He can't see a way to do it, can't get out to work. He thinks he's going to save himself pain, but it really is painful. Look on just the edge of that verse, the end of that verse. But the way of the righteous is made plain. A man that is diligent, he's going to get up and see that same thing, but the way's plain. He says, all right, we got to get to work. You know, this is the way I'm going to go, and I'm going to get to work, and I see the job, and I'm going to get to work at it, not just see a hedge of thorns all around you. Because we can make up excuses on why not to do things, and just the way's filled with a hedge of thorns. But if we are diligent, if we do this and we establish patterns that we get up and we get to work, the way will be made plain. All right, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. So we're getting a bunch of characteristics here about what God says not to have be our work ethic. Proverbs 18, verse 9 says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that's a great waster. Wasting things. You know, you could waste your health, you could waste your life, you could waste the good years of your life, you could waste all these things. We think it's a shame to waste. We know the government, you know, we say, how wasteful spending. And it's a crime to waste. But the Bible says that a slothful man is a brother to him. He's wasting his life away. He's wasting what God's given him because of his laziness, because he's allowing himself to give in to that laziness. He's brother to him that's a great waster. And so you're wasting when you're lazy. Chapter 19, verse 15. Chapter 19, verse 15. Says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. We know people, and you maybe know people, that they're always tired. And all they do is sleep, but they're still always tired. Now, I had a Bible study, it was just last week, and in the morning at the school, at Henderson School here at Heartland. And one of the mornings, I was kind of telling some of the kids there, I said, let's just ask, because almost everybody you ask, you say, how are you this morning? These are mostly middle school kids. What are they going to say? Tired. Every one of them comes in, how are you doing this morning, so-and-so? I'm tired. Okay? And there's this one kid that really, I coached him in football, and he's always, extremely tired. So I always ask him, I say, do you get any sleep? Yeah. So I asked him this last, I wasn't even thinking about this, but I asked him last Monday, I said, how much sleep did you get over the weekend? He's about ready to die, how tired he is. How much sleep did he get? Friday night, he went to bed at 9. So, all right. Okay, he slept all through the night, all through the morning, got up at 1:30. Okay? He went to the mall in Grand Island with his parents, came back, and went back to bed. Okay? And so, this isn't a man that's short on sleep, or a young man that's short on sleep, right? And then Sunday, he had a normal day. That's an amazing amount of sleep. But what this is a truth that the more you sleep, the more you lay around, the more you feel sleepy. And that's what this is saying here, is that slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. If we allow ourselves to get taken into this, we just get more and more tired. And a lot of probably our problem is we're getting too much sleep, and we're too much laying around, and so it casts you into a deep sleep, and you become an idle soul. And the Bible says the natural consequence of being idle is that you shall suffer hunger. In the New Testament, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Okay, and again, that's the way it should work. And so people can live their lives being this way and still getting satisfied with bread and with food. But this is something to watch out for, is that slothfulness. We can get into this pattern, and it casts you more into a deep sleep. Right? So this is something to look at. This is God's wisdom here. Chapter 20, verse 4. Gives another characteristic of a bad work ethic. Things we could say, we could find ourselves saying this. Chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. The field needs plowed. Why is he not plowing? It's too cold. There's an excuse, right? It's too hot. It's too humid. It's too windy. My favorite show's on tonight. Well, it's the World Series. I mean, if you want to have excuses, you can have as many excuses as we want. A sluggard, a man with a bad work ethic or a woman with a good work ethic will have an excuse. It's too cold. Well, there's other people out plowing. I think you could do it too, right? We can always come up with excuses. And so if we find ourselves coming up with excuses, we need to stop that. If there's a job to do, we need to do it. So not have excuses. So we're going to see a few excuses here in a row. Let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 13. Excuses are not good. We see another excuse here. If we find ourselves saying excuses for why we shouldn't do a job that we know needs to get done, then we need to look at ourselves. Look what God says. Proverbs 22, verse 13. It says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I'll be slain in the streets. So that in his mind, there's a lion in the streets running around. Well, there's other people out there. And really, if there's a lion in the streets and it's shutting down the whole commerce, go out and do something about it, right? He should do that. But instead, that's his excuse. He's a slothful man. He says, well, there's a lion out there. I'll be slain. And so he's got an excuse, and it's fear. He's worried about, this could happen. If I go out, maybe this won't work. Maybe this will happen. We could always come up with excuses and why we can't do stuff, and it paralyzes us. We sit at home and are slothful because of fear. Here, I think it's in his imagination. There's no lion in the streets in Solomon's day. But he's got that excuse. I'll be slain in the streets. And so we don't want to come up with excuses like that. Let's go to chapter 24. Chapter 24. So these are good things. And again, if you want the notes, all my notes pretty much have are these verses. And then you can look at these and take some of these that really hit home. You can put them on your mirror or memorize these things. So if so it motivates you. See, what does God say about these things? Chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So if a man's slothful, he doesn't have understanding. He's not seeking after what God wants for him. He's thinking that it's better to be slothful. But he went by the field. He went by the vineyard of this slothful man. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. This farm is in disrepair. It was probably a good farm at one time, but now he's allowing that to get into disrepair because he's slothful. He's wasting what was given to him. I mean, that's not being a good steward of what God's given to him. And now it's worth nothing. It was worth a lot. It had a wall. It had all these things, this field. But now, in the state it's in, his place is worth not much. He's wasted. That's why he's a brother to a waster. And so a slothful man just allows his place, allows his fields, allows his house, allows whatever, if we're a man or a woman, to allow things to get to a point of disrepair. That's not being a good steward. It said, though, in verse 32, then I saw and considered it well. I looked up and received instruction. The problem with this man was he always said, a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. This slothful man he wouldn't do it because he needed a little bit more sleep. And when that happens, verse 34 says, your poverty will come like one that travels. He's going to arrive. You can rest assured your poverty's coming. And your want, you're going to be without, you're going to want. That's going to come like an armed man. It's going to force into your life. If you allow yourself to just a little more sleep, a little more slumber, and your place gets into disrepair, and you're not working because you're wanting just a little more sleep. So we need to think about these things. Chapter 26, verse 13. Chapter 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the street. So this is the same one, except this time he doesn't say, I'm going to be slain. He just says, there's a lion out there. There's a lion in the streets. And like we said before, there's not a lion. Many times we'll come up with excuses, and they're lies. They're not real. They're things we make up in our mind. We lie to ourselves. We lie to others on why we don't do work. God's not a God of excuses. It's either time to work or it's time not to. If it is, do your best to go get it done. Be diligent. If there is a lion out there, go do something about it. Be a hero or something, All right, verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. And so a door turns back and forth and back and forth. So sometimes we're not sleeping. Maybe we've had enough sleep, but we're laying down, we're tossing and turning. We need to think, is it because I'm having trouble getting to sleep, or is it because I've had too much sleep? Is it time to get up and work? Is it time to do what I need to do? Verse 15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. It can get to this point, if we allow it, that even bringing our hand to our mouth is work. You know, it's too lazy to do that. We don't want to get to that point. Verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Seven men come to this guy, to this slothful man, and say, you need to really get up and fix your fence. You need to plow the field. That's too cold. I'll do it tomorrow. You need to get out there to work. There's a lion in the streets. You need to get out there. No, he's got the excuses, and he's going to do it. He's wiser than even seven men that come and say, come on, Bob, you really need to do this. You're not going to have a harvest unless you plant, right? But he's wiser than seven men that can render a reason. We saw before we should listen to counsel, godly counsel. And if somebody's telling us these things, we need to listen to it. But a sluggard here won't. He's wiser in his own conceit. So those are things we should not do. I talked a lot about sleep, about loving sleep. That can lead, that's a reason not to do work. Talking about making excuses. We don't want to be ones that make excuses. We saw that, you know, some slothfulness can lead to more and more slothfulness. And slothfulness can lead to want. It can lead to poverty. It can lead to hunger. Right? God has given us work to do. We are to work. Work is a good thing. We ought to work at it with all our soul. You know, whatsoever you do, do it with all your might. That's the way we should work. Let's look at what the Bible says now about a diligent man. So we looked at things that are negative there. Now let's look at positive things. Let's go to Proverbs 6. Start back over. Proverbs 6. Now, what do we want to pattern? We saw what we don't want to pattern our life after. Things, if that's a red flag in our mind, if we see, hey, that's kind of what I do sometimes. That's a red flag. Now let's look at what we should do. Because we know, again, that God knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for His people, how we should live, how we should work. All right, Proverbs 6, verse 6. This is a famous passage. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Then we see the problem with the sluggard. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding hand in your poverty. We've seen that verse before. But what we see here is we should look to the ant. We should look to the ant if we feel like we're having these things. And the ant can be an example for us. Look what the ant does. The ant has no guide, overseer, or ruler. There's nobody sitting there barking orders. There's a queen ant that's just laying eggs. She's not really in charge. They take care of it because she can lay the eggs. But all these workers, there's nobody that's in control. They're all doing their job, though, and they're all doing it 100%. That's what we should do. Whether we have a guide, overseer, or ruler, we as Christians, in our job, in school, wherever we're at, we should be the hardest working people. Because we're working for the Lord, right? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But we should be as the ant and not need somebody to constantly be like, Rich, come on, get to work. Rich, you need to stop messing with work, you know? There's some people you have to constantly be on to make work. If we're at our job, we should be always doing it. And if there's nothing to do, find a broom and sweep, you know? Do something that you're not having to have a guide, overseer, or ruler constantly tell you to get back to work. Be like the ant. So we see that in the ant. The ant provides her meat in the summer. So when the summer's going, when there's food available, she's providing food. They're bringing food. They're eating it. They're able to sustain then. But also getting extra. She gathers her food in the harvest so that the ant stores up. And so in the winter, like right now, when there's nothing around, the ants are underground eating. They have food stored up. And ants are pretty much like bees. And I keep bees. And they're just, you know, they work when it's time. And like the bees will do most of their, get almost all their honey when the honey flow comes on, probably in May, you know, for a month. They gather pretty much all of it. And then they have to get all they can at that time kind of to make it the rest of the year. But even right now, like on today, it's a warm day. They're out working. They're trying to find stuff. If there's ever a time they can work, they work. And so we can learn from these ants and from these bees. Other things we can learn about them. Okay, ants work without oversight. They work when there's opportunity. They work without regard to what others may be doing. The ant that's on the trail going to get that crumb at the picnic doesn't know if anybody else is working. It's not worried about everybody else. It's just doing its job. We can easily, I mean, I think of, you know, if we're in here vacuuming the sanctuary, I think, man, I'm the only one doing anything, and there's nobody's doing this. Nobody, we can think about we're the only ones working. The ant doesn't do that. It just does its job. Look, go to the ant, thou sluggard. And that could give us an excuse because other people aren't working. We think, well, I'm going to let off a little bit. Other people at work, for sure. You know, if you have a work, a factory, and it's a lazy factory, and everybody's cutting corners, it's tempting to do that as well. But no, we go to the ant. We don't care what other people are doing. We work hard. And finally, the ant works regardless, not worrying about her small size. I mean, an ant could say, what am I? You know, I can carry a little, nothing. I mean, they're so small. I mean, it takes hundreds of thousands of trips from a bee to a flower to fill up and get any type of honey at all. They get such microscopic amounts. But when you get 50,000 bees working in a hive together, you can get a lot of honey fast. They can get 100 pounds of honey extra in a year. And so we can get a lot done if you're not worried about what other people are doing, if you're not worried about how small I am. Because if everybody says that, the ants would get nothing done. So we come with that attitude. So go to the ant, thou sluggard. Another interesting thing about the ant, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. She gathers her food. It always talks about a her. Why is it talking about the ant as a her? Because they're female. How would you know that? I mean, could you look at an ant and tell if it's male or female? No. I mean, how would Solomon know that? I mean, you can't like take an ant and look at it and say, oh, that's a male for sure. You know? We don't know. And I would just assume that, you know, it'd be the males go out gathering and the females are taking care of the hive or whatever. That's kind of what we would assume. So how in the world did Solomon, why did he say it's a woman in the first place, or a female? You know, gathers her meat, you know, does all these things. But now we know that it is. In ants and bees, every one of the workers is female. So again, just that's a neat thing about the Bible. There's no way that science didn't know that. No way Solomon should have known that, but yet he did know it. Why? Because the Bible's inspired. And he says, it's hers. And so people could have said, why? He's talking that, you know, but that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what bees are. All the males do is they just stay in the hive, they eat some of my honey, and then they go and mate with the queen, and that's all they do. That's their whole life, is mating with the queen. And so the females do all the jobs. They do all the work in a hive. The female ants do all the work, exactly like Solomon said. Consider her ways and be wise. Just amazing how perfect the Bible is. Let's get back to work ethic. So we want to be self-motivated. We want to just do our job regardless of what other people are doing as Christians. Let's go to chapter 10, verse 4. So that should be a challenge for all of us at work, at school. I mean, that's a high calling because an ant's not messing around. An ant's not taking a break and watching TV. An ant's, you know, not, they are doing their job. That's all they're doing. Consider her ways and be wise. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. We looked at this on the other side. Let's look at it for what we should do. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. If we just keep working, we're diligent, we're hard workers, we're steady workers, and day in and day out we do it, we're dependable, we're diligent, we will become rich. Again, we're not being rich just to be rich. We're being rich because God's given us the ability and we can do things for others. We can give gifts to others. We can give to God if we're rich. So the diligent, be steady, hard work. Chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. And so if we're diligent, if we're hard workers and we go, I mean, we're going to end up being a supervisor, end up being a manager, end up being these kind of things if we have that kind of work ethic, if that's what we want to do. People are going to pick out, employers are going to pick out the diligent workers, not the ones who are not doing their work. And so we will bear rule if we, if that's what we desire, and if we work hard at these things, if we're just diligent. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Look at verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. You know, the diligent man that was diligent and he got that deer or he got that whatever it is that he shot, I mean, that's precious to him. He's going to not waste it. He's not going to let it hang out there and rot and let the coyotes have it. He's going to go and take that and provide food for himself and for his family, whatever he can. And so we don't waste. We finish the job because it's precious. We don't waste things. That's what a diligent person should do. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It's the soul. Our soul is going to be satisfied with hard work, with working diligently. You would think it'd be the other way around. If I could just be lazy and just, you know, watch movies all day in the air conditioning, that's going to make me, you know. But God says the other way around. A diligent man, his soul shall be satisfied, be made fat. And so God's saying that hard work is going to make us satisfied. It's going to fulfill, you know, more than being a slothful man. which is not the way that, you know, the world would see it, not the way our flesh would see it. That's the way God says it. All right, let's go on to 15, verse 19. Some of these we looked at a little bit before, but we'll just touch on. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. I mean, God is going to show us the way if we're righteous, if we're diligent in this regard here. And also, we just get up, we see the job, we get after it. We're not worried about all these thorns. We're not worried about how it's going to, you know. We know the plan, and we get to work as a diligent man. Proverbs 20, verse 4, tells us the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he's going to beg and harvest and have nothing. We shouldn't make excuses. We shouldn't say there's a lion in the streets. Shouldn't make excuses because of fear or just because we don't want to work. Not make excuses it's too cold or too hot. A diligent man, a man that's working with the work ethic that God wants us to work with, is not going to make excuses. He knows there's work to be done. Let's go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, and we'll read about five of them here. Verse 23. This is what we should be, what God is telling us for our lives, for working. Proverbs 27, verse 23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, the goats are for the price of the field, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens." So this man, this woman, whoever this is that is in charge of these things, is diligent to know the state of their flocks. It'd be easy to be lazy, you know, you have all this stuff and you just kind of relax. But here it says, be diligent, know how your flocks are doing, know if it's time to calve, you know if there's a disease, know these things. Look well to thy herds. You're looking over, if you're an investor and you have investments, you're staying on top of these things, and you're not just being lazy and just letting it go, you're on top of things. Because you understand that riches are not forever, they can fade away quickly. And we're talking about just on earth here. Yeah, but we know that just because we have something doesn't mean it's always going to be there. We need to stay on it. We need to stay working. The hay appears. The tender grass shows itself. The herbs of the mountain are gathered. There's a time that all these things happen. We need to be diligent to know when it's time to cut that hay. When it's 10% bloom, we cut it, right? Or when, you know, any of these things happen. So we need to know when those herbs are ready to be gathered in the mountains. We're diligent on all this stuff, right? And so we know when it's time to plant. We're not always planting just way late. And we're on top of these things. But it takes work to do that. It takes diligence to do that. No, slothful man, everything sneaks up on us. Here we're diligent. We know what's going on. And then you know that the lambs are going to be for your clothing. So you've got your clothing prepared because you've got a plan and you're diligent. So the lambs are going to be for your clothing. The goats are for the price of the field. So you're going to maybe sell the goats or do something to pay for the price of the field that you're raising other food on. So you have a plan and you're diligent. You're on top of these things. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. So you're going to have to provide for your household if you're diligent on these things. Not slothful in these areas. So, we see what the work ethic we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be self-motivated. Prepare for times of need. Be steady. Don't waste. Just see the way and get up and work. And be always aware of things. Don't allow yourself to get lazy on these things. And that's what God says. Okay, on how to work and what a Christian should work like. Okay, now I want to look at, that's kind of at the workplace, that's at the home, that's all these things. But I also want to look like what that is like in our spiritual life. Maybe how we're serving at church. Maybe how we're just serving the Lord in our lives. Because it's easy to get slothful in our spiritual lives. And so this would just much apply to this. We could be very successful in this, keeping our fields and knowing the state of our flocks, but yet we become slothful or a sluggard spiritually. We're not in the Word of God. We're not praying like we should. We're not out ministering. We're just coming to church maybe on a Sunday, listening, going home. We've got ourselves to just that where we're just doing the bare minimum. We don't want to allow ourselves to get that way either. Okay, the Bible says in Hebrews 6:12 that you should be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So don't be slothful in your faith. The Bible says God said to the Hebrews, to the Jews, when they came out of Egypt, when Moses was giving the law to the Israelites, He said, "Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and they depart from the heart. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons." So to keep these things and remember what God had did for them. He brought them out of the Red Sea, took them out of bondage. They saw all kinds of miracles. He said, it's going to be easy to be slothful and forget these things and just go back to living life and wanting to go back to Egypt, but be diligent to remember these things. For us, I mean, to be diligent and remember how God saved us. You know, think back when we find ourselves being slothful and remember these things. Be diligent to think what God has done for us. Think of our testimony. Think of what happened in our life so we don't forget these things when God brought us up out of Egypt and gave us new life. And here it says, be diligent to teach them to thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, and shalt thou teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. I mean, passing on our faith to our children and to others, sharing our faith, we've got to be diligent to do that. Talk about doing it all the time when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're in the house, when you rise up, when you lie down. Be diligent in our faith. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. To the Jews he gave them statutes and commandments and his law, and they were to be diligent to keep those things. To us he's given us statutes in the New Testament that we need to be diligent to keep. Don't become slothful in our lives and just allow us to be tossed to and fro with everything. We need to be diligent in our spiritual lives just like we would working for an employer, just like we would as a self-employed electrician or farmer. We need to be diligent in our spiritual lives. We need to be like an ant in our spiritual life. We shouldn't have to have a guide or overseer or ruler. It's good to come and iron sharpens iron, and a preacher, a pastor should be exhorting you, you know, to get into the Word, to be getting in and study, but we should also grow to the point where we're like the ant and we don't need somebody constantly getting on us and saying, have you even prayed this week? No. Well, then you pray for a week and then you drop off. Have you even been in your Bible? You haven't been in it for a month. We should be, in a way, like an ant where we don't need that guide, overseer, or ruler telling us to do it. Right? We should do that. We should be diligent in our spiritual life, diligent in praying and reading and growing and listening to sermons and soul winning, you know, sharing our faith. We should be diligent. It's easy to have excuses. You know, the slothful man has many excuses. You know, for reading the Bible, they say, well, I'm waiting really to get this new Bible. I'm waiting for my study Bible to come in, the right Bible, so I'm not studying yet. You know, we can have an excuse, or I just don't have the time. Right? That's an excuse. We do have the time. It's just where we're putting our time, what our priorities are. We can say, well, I don't have a quiet place, and I'm gonna build a place down in the basement where I can read sometime. But always getting around to it, we can have a million excuses. We saw what God says about excuses. We need to not have excuses. A slothful man in spiritual things will have excuses. Talking about soul winning, talk about sharing our faith, how many excuses can we have there? You know, well, there's a lion in the streets. We make up things that they're going to say to us or something's going to happen if we share our faith. There's all kinds of examples of, you know, in our lives of excuses why we don't do things that we know we're supposed to do. God's laid on our heart to do. We don't do them because we have excuses. So I feel like, especially in this area of Nebraska, from the outside looking in, we all probably have decent work ethics. But what about spiritually? We can be slothful and sluggardly spiritually. And you know that. You know if you are or not. And I think it applies just as much to spiritual things as it does to real work. Now, what did God say about the harvest? Because we saw a lot, like as a person that sleeps during harvest, they're ashamed to their father. There's a time to work, and it's when the harvest is there. Now, let's talk about souls. Is there a harvest ready for souls out there? And when is that time? Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus is speaking. All right, let's go to verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus came to finish work. He came to work. And to finish the work. To roast that which he took in hunting, right? Verse 35, he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest? So obviously they're saying, well, in 4 months there'll be the harvest. That's the time to harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What's he talking about? People. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. He's talking about harvest and doing his work with souls. with people that are dying. He said the field is already white to harvest. And the wages we're working for there is definitely God. And the wages we receive there are eternal. Are we being a sluggard in that area? Are we being slothful in that area? Are we seeing the world as a harvest? Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Because remember the proverb said, a son that sleeps during harvest is a shame to his father. It causes shame. We have our Father in heaven. We don't want to sleep during the harvest. Jesus said the fields are white already to harvest. In verse 36, chapter 9, verse 36 of Matthew, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Here he goes again talking about the harvest, looking at the people with compassion on them. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So again, laborers working in the harvest. But we should pray that God will send missionaries. We should pray that God would, you know, send all kinds of people. But we should ourselves be saying, listen, here am I, Lord, send me, right? We have a harvest, right? Well, if we lift up our eyes, the fields around us are white already to harvest. And so are we working diligently, or are we working slothfully? Are we being a sluggard with our spiritual life, with our Bible reading, with our prayer life? Are we doing the bare minimum? We want to treat that just like we treat our work, you know, for an employer, like we treat our work for our farm. We want to look diligently and know the state of our flocks, know these things, right? And spend time thinking about that. I want to finish with a poem written by Isaac Watts. He wrote some hymns. Isaac Watts, and it's on the sluggard. 'Tis the voice of the sluggard, I heard him complain. You have waked me too soon, I must slumber again. As the door on its hinges, so he on his bed turns his sides and his shoulders and his heavy head. A little more sleep and a little more slumber. Thus he wastes half his days and his hours without number. And when he gets up, he sits folding his hands, or walks about, sauntering or trifling, he stands. I passed by his garden and saw the wild briar, the thorn and the thistle grow broader and higher. The clothes that hang on him are turning to rags, and his money still wastes till he starves or he begs. I made him a visit, still hoping to find that he took better care for improving his mind. He told me his dreams, talked of eating and drinking, but scarce reads his Bible and never loves thinking. Said I then to my heart, here's a lesson for me. This man's but a picture of what I might be. But thanks to my friends for their care and my breeding, who taught me betimes to love working and reading. I mean, there's a lot of scripture in that. He's taking that from Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. But it's a lesson to us to in our work, in our spiritual life, in our Bible reading, and growing in wisdom and knowledge in the Lord. We don't want to be sluggardly in that area as well. And so we take this tonight, Lord willing, and look at ourselves to see where we are falling short of what God would have for us. To take that and ask God for His help in helping our lives to improve in that area. And maybe make some things. Again, I'd love to give you, you know, these verses, and maybe one of the verses you can memorize, you can put up, and that really spoke to you tonight. So let us pray, and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that we all can improve, because there's all areas that we are slothful and sluggardly in. Lord, that's not your plan for us. That's not what's best for us, spiritually or physically at all. And so, Lord, help us to be able to, in your strength, be able to look to your word and make changes that glorify you, make changes that will, as your word says, benefit us as well, but that are hard changes to turn around cycles of ways we're living and things we're doing. Lord, help us to have the strength to do that, because we know that you are all wise, you're all powerful, your word knows it all, and we need to look to you for all that wisdom. I thank you for your wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Be with all of us tonight as we go home. Keep us safe, Lord, and help us to do a good job in our work this week, to work for you, and to do everything as unto the Lord. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.